Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. Last week, I gave you the first half of the latest memo sent out by Howard Marks. For those of you who missed last week's show, you can find a recording on my website at onthemoneyradio.org or my new smartphone app, which is available for iPhones and Android phones. Just search for On the Money with no spaces and it will come right up. And by the way, I think you'll find that a great way to listen to the show. So here's a quick recap. Howard Marks is a 67-year-old billionaire who co-founded investment management firm Oaktree Capital, which manages about $84 billion in assets. It's a publicly traded company with the ticker symbol of OAK, and Oaktree focuses on what are called alternative investments. So these are investments that try to do things differently than your standard stock and bond investments, and they're sometimes referred to as hedge funds as well. But anyway, he specializes in these alternative investments, and they make up high-yield bonds and distressed debt and things like that. But unbelievably, he has delivered a whopping 23% average annual return over the past 25 years. So he has rightly earned his fame and fortune. And as I said last week, in 25 years, a $100,000 investment would be worth $17,690,000 today. That's an astounding investment record, and that is the record of Howard Marks. Last week in part one of this two-part talk, I shared Mark's thoughts on how you should go about investing a small portion of your portfolio in alternative investments, the questions you should ask yourself and your advisor, and how to pick a fund manager that dares to be different, and here's an interesting thought, dares to be wrong, all the while trying to seek out these better than average or superior returns. Marks also reminded us that there is no magic bullet or easy formula for success in investing, and that it all boils down to solid skills, a lot of hard work, and a few other capricious things that I'll cover today, such as luck and timing. By the way, I was reading a report last week about Ted Wexler, who is one of Warren Buffett's managers for Berkshire Hathaway, and it was stated that he spends 500 hours of research before he invests in any one company. 500 hours of research before he makes his first investment. All right, so getting back to Mark's memo, he says the bottom line in looking for superior fund managers is not whether they dare to be different or wrong, but whether they dare to look wrong. You see, most fund managers know that they will inevitably make mistakes in investment decisions, but most find it unacceptable to look significantly wrong because they fear they'll lose a lot of money they manage. Or in a worst case basis, they're going to lose their jobs. Most fund managers also know that they benefit little from bold decisions that work, but they suffer greatly from bold decisions that fail. So it's important as an investor to understand the motivations behind these kinds of managers' thinking. If they think out of the box too much and they win, that's great. But if they lose, they could lose their job and their home in Connecticut and the private school their kids are in. So a lot of them are afraid to take the right kind of risk. Now, let's say you pick a fund manager who's fantastic. He or she's an expert at economics and finance, and he's hardworking, and he does his due diligence comprehensively. Even so, his thorough analysis can effortlessly be thwarted by randomness, by the randomness in the world, and still deliver a loss. Many seasoned investors know this. Even well-founded analysis that eventually turn out to be correct often take longer than most fund managers can bear. So not only are future events uncertain, but their timing can be irksomely variable and cause fund managers to close out positions that would have been extremely profitable had they waited. And the way Marx puts it is this way: being too far ahead of your time is indistinguishable from being wrong. Think about that. If you're early, and even if at the end you're right, you can't distinguish being early and being temporarily wrong with just being wrong. So the fact that something's cheap doesn't mean that it's going to appreciate tomorrow. It can languish in the bargain basement. And the fact that something's overpriced certainly doesn't mean it'll fall right away. Bull markets can go on for years. For example, Alan Greenspan warned about the irrational exuberance in December of 96, but the stock market continued upward for more than 3 years after his comment. So if Superior Fund Manager needs the strength to diverge from the herd, stand by his convictions, and maintain positions until events prove him right, all of this is really, really hard to do. Mark says, I'm convinced that everything that's important in investing is counterintuitive, and everything that's obvious is wrong. And investors who aspire to superior performance have to live with this reality. Unconventional behavior is the only road to superior investment results, but it isn't for everyone. In addition to superior skill, successful investing requires the ability to look wrong for a while and survive some mistakes. The truth is, almost everything about superior investing is a double-edged sword. For example, if you invest, you will lose money if the market declines. If you don't invest, you'll miss out on the gains if the market rises. Market timing will add value if it can be done right. Buy and hold will produce better results if timing can't be done right. Aggressiveness will help when the market rises but hurt when it fails. Defensiveness will help when the market falls but hurt when it rises. If you concentrate your portfolio, meaning you have fewer positions, your mistakes can kill you. If you diversify, the payoff from your successes will be diminished. And finally, if you borrow money to make investments, if you use leverage, your success will be magnified. However, if you use leverage, your mistakes will also be magnified. There's only one thing in the investment world that isn't two-edged, and that's superior insight or skill. Skill can help in both up markets and down markets, and by making it more likely that your decisions are right, superior skill can increase your benefit from having a concentrated portfolio of a small number of things. But here's the key. That kind of superior skill, by definition, is rare and elusive. And that's why I try to bring you from time to time the thoughts of great investors who not only dare to be different, but have the superior skills to succeed.
You're listening to On the Money with Certified Financial Planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.